everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hello everybody, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical show that's designed to help you to think outside of the box. Each week, through our conversation with our spirit friends, we bring you information that will help you to become more aware of the nature of your existence when my husband, Mick Avery, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay. And if you would like to join us, if you've got something you would like to ask or add to our discussion, then it's a toll-free number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and that is 001-530-876-3222. So it's a general questions show. It's not personal readings on that we do today, although if you would like a reading from Gregory, we do Akashic readings, various types of readings, but the Akashic readings are a large part of what we do, and you can find out more about that on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Go to the Akashic readings page, and if you would like to know more before you would maybe just fancy booking a reading, then I can talk to you a bit more about it, and that would be wonderful. I'd like to hear from you. So anyway, here's Mick.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com. We're here live every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST, and that's 6 p.m. GMT. And if you'd like to know more about us or maybe book an Akashic reading, as Sylvie suggested, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, also live at www.mickavery.com and at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Anyway, as Sylvie said on the show, I go into the deep trance state and bring through Gregory Hay, a spirit guide who will take over from me for the rest of the show. When I move out of my body, he moves in, which enables the pure communication between our worlds to take place. Without further ado, I'm going to hand you straight back to Sylvie, and who's going to get the show underway, and that's that. I'm
Absolutely.
Going to go to sleep now.
We've
Thank
got
you.
Lots of listeners' questions to get through today.
Okay.
And the Bye aim then. Of our show is to share valuable knowledge that maybe you wouldn't have access to. So we discuss sensitive and complex topics with the view that through the dissemination of the information that spirit world bring and just general whatever comes out of the conversations, then we can maybe make various changes to create a more peaceful and stable world and help each other find a way forward. I mean, that's what it's all about. So Gregory is the spokesperson for a massive group of experts and scholars in the spirit world from all walks of life who call themselves the White Cloud Group. And they're an educational group who are here to relay knowledge that will help us onto the road of recovery, or at least, like I say, gain a new perspective on life armed with this new information. They're responding to a need of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. So if you have any thoughts on a show topic that you would like us to discuss then 1 week, then do email us on enq@spirit-teaching.com. And or if you've just got a question, one question, that's fine. You can email me that, and I actually do compile a list, and we put them together, and I will ask them on your behalf if you don't want to actually call in live on the show. So do visit our website again. We do have publications on there, all sorts of information at spirit-teaching.com, and get in touch with me if you would like to know anything at all. And thank you very much for joining us anyway, and I do believe Gregory's here now. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend, with love and light, blessings as ever.
Hi. Is there anything that you would want to start with this week before I do? No? You don't want to? Nothing on your mind? I think that the group's been...
There's a great deal that
I know, but there's nothing in specifically?
Not particularly at this time.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I do have some questions.
Yes, Finn.
Yep. Okay. They're quite varied, but I'm going to start at the top of the list anyway. This is Joanne from the UK. And she says, when a new soul is created, how is it decided in the spirit world which soul group it will join?
Souls. Well, we are really talking about spirit here, not soul.
Yeah, souls, yeah, spirit being...
So the energy of spirit is, in a sense, continuing to emerge from the creation of all life. So that means to say that spirit forms in many different kinds of ways under attraction. And that attraction is something that illuminates that spirit energy or entity toward a particular species, maybe. That doesn't mean to say that you as a human being would necessarily be a horse or dog or a cat or mouse or rat or some other being from the physical side of life, from your planet as such. It is not to say that spirit are attracted to only one planet, but are attracted to many. And as much, there are many indications that we have of many different kinds of species which appear to proliferate right throughout the universe in one form or another. So that means to say, quite rightly, that there are beings who are human-like or have the same kind of appearance or similar appearance to human beings on other worlds. Not necessarily that they have the same ingenuity or the same quality of dexterous mind. Equally, there will be beings who are similarly of the understanding of the species mutation of horse or dog or cat or many other beings. There are also hundreds of millions of other beings which are nothing like any creature that exists upon the earth as such. So we can see that the gravitational field of attraction that spirit make manifest is really to do with what they aspire to be attracted to. That means then that you could say that if you are looking at one particular species, there are certain species which have higher value in respect of their spirituality or awareness of self or their awareness intrinsically of their energy and the content of that energy. Likewise, it would be that you can look at almost any given species of the earth, and they can actually all communicate with one another using a commonality of language, except for human beings, who tend to have isolated themselves through mutation and through their own negativity to becoming aloof and apart from all other beings. So, in other words, intrinsically upon the earth, there was a time when human beings could actually communicate very freely with other animals. And as I say, all other animals are able to communicate with one another in any event. So it means to say that there's a commonality of language, but only at times of their choosing. That means to say they choose the commonality generally, which will appear at times of distress or times of worry or urgency, whereby they may communicate as, for example, matters of when of the earth there are such things as a tremor or earthquake or tsunami or some other such danger, which then means that all animals alert one another of the various different types and situations. And oftentimes what will happen is that various different species will try to save one another, not necessarily the same species. And this is actually because of the commonality of language, but also because of recognition of their own spirit value. And that means to say that there's a different kind of situational system at work here. Now, in respect of the actual manifestation or creation of spirit as such, there is a continuous situation, stream, if you like, of where the creation of all life continues to separate, continues to multiply. So does that mean to say that at one time there wasn't?
will, not as such, because in actual fact, it depends upon in which realm of distinction you are talking about. So which kind of dimension or frequency of that dimension you are trying to look upon or understand within your mind. You have to understand that the creation of all life is in itself distinguished by this manifestation of creative urgencies, which appears to be the emittance of energy, and that energy, just a tiny fraction of which may appear in the speck of a, perhaps even a part or a portion of a particle of sand, would actually appear simply through the desire of it, through the ability of that creation to make manifest, I understand, from perhaps a different realm or a different emergent dimension. So that means to say that by the slowing of its energy, it would then become familiar in a different realm. So in this respect, it means that when you are talking about the manifestation or creation of all life, you must see it in a multidimensional facet or way of expression. This means to say that it's like a quantum dimension, which means that it doesn't have a specific figure or number, but is continuously exponential, in exactly the same way that the universe in your known world, in a sense, is continuing to expand outwards, having at one time been only 1 inch in diameter. It's in actual fact because it was 1 inch in diameter in the presence of another and different dimension, which is in exactly the same way of your present universe, that would be just a mere speck in respect of its dimension.
Okay.
I hope you understand that. So it's like when you are trying to pin down what the energy of creation is, you are trying to do so because you are grappling with grains of sand. And that in respect of how you see yourself, a grain of sand may actually hold a completely different and complete universe or galaxy in a different dimension.
Yeah, okay. We do. We grapple with our human brain, basically.
Yes. So when you are looking at the newness of spirit, in actual fact, there are such incalculable numbers of spirit energies that one is at very great and difficult layering of explanation of this, of how all of these spirit may make themselves manifest, as oftentimes they appear as if from nowhere, but purely, actually, they come from somewhere.
Well, exactly, and that's that's really everything that everybody's trying to find out, isn't it?
Yes, quite so.
That's what we call God, isn't it?
I suppose it is, yes, but it's not in the manifestation of humanity or anything else, because that is just a religious viewpoint made for the specific hierarchy that you have worked out for yourselves as human beings as to the validity then of your own lives.
So, okay, so let me put it this way then. When the soul, we call the soul or the spirit of whoever breaks away, is a shard of this energy, this God force, this
yes.
creative power.
Yes.
It becomes attracted to a soul group, because we're all from soul groups.
Yes, that's right.
So how does that happen in the? I can see how something would get attracted to something.
Yes, but it's not straight away. It's not immediate.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Exactly. So what? Okay. So
you see, it may well be millions and millions of years before that spirit is actually attracted to anything. It may be just in observance, pure and simple observance of the universe. It that begins to unfold towards that energy. And don't forget, that energy may be absolutely enormous, or it may be tiny.
as microscopic as the smallest microbe that you could ever see, maybe even that of an emergent energy.
Yeah, so you talk about the halls of learning. Every cell group has a halls of learning and that sort of thing where you can find out just about anything. So it's a bit like being alive here. It's a bit like, how do you imagine something before a civilized sort of kingdom, if you like?
Yes, that's right.
It's hard to work out the in-between bit. Now, you've talked about opaques, which actually are energies, spirit energies, that have had, like you say, lives maybe on different planets, different universe, can be physical and non-physical, and actually at the same time can actually blend back into the spirit and then form their body again, and a bit like...
Yes, however that may make manifest, which will be dependent upon the mutation or the collection of cells that it has become attached to, not necessarily as in the same dimension. Because after all, you must remember that all spirit still remain in the ether world. None of us come and have a physical life as such. We are simply attached by the etheric bead to the physical being that's having the physical life.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If we realise that, you know, more consciously as we go about our day, that actually, first and foremost, we are spirit beings.
Yes.
Having this physical experience, a bit like you say, being dangled on a piece of string.
Yes, yes.
Sort of attached at the moment. But our spirit, which is the biggest part of what we are.
Yes.
And that we try to get people to connect with through meditation, etc.
Yes.
Is actually always in the spirit world. So
that's right. Never comes into having a physical life as such.
Yeah. But going back to the OPAC existence, and if you're not an OPAC, so presumably OPACs don't have a soul group because they are doing their own things somewhere else. Or are there soul groups for those beings as well?
They tend to be more confined because of oftentimes OPAC are specifically more gifted toward a specific planet or maybe galaxy to which they are adhered to. So it means like that they have a different kind of attraction. Usually their system of thought and their awareness of that system of thought tends to be one of great and deep contemplation. So they tend to be different kinds of energetic beings. And that doesn't mean to say they're always human either. Oftentimes they may actually be come and have a physical life as animals.
Yeah, okay.
As well.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So if you're an OPAC and then you actually get drawn towards a situation with soul groups and that sort of thing, that's possible too, because I know that because
that's
of
right.
the Akashic readings that we do.
Yes,
that
yes.
We do meet many OPAC people.
Yes, yes, that's quite right.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, it's quite interesting, really, because in the realm of things, of the numbers of beings that you have presently on your planet of Earth, all 6 billion and so many hundred thousand of them, it is in actual fact that there are very few OPAC beings in amongst that.
Yeah, absolutely. Or we can go a month without actually... meeting an OPAC through an Akashic reading, and then we might have three in 1 week.
Yes, yes, that's
and then
right.
a couple the next week, and then nothing for months. So,
yes, yes.
But I guess really, if you think about it, if they were those deeply contemplative beings, then I guess they would maybe have got this through their searching minds and their experience and connection. Maybe that's why. We do come across a lot of them because they've sort of carried on searching, basically.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. And they are usually harbors of information as well. Not necessarily that they will be aware of that.
No, Oh, absolutely not. No, many, many
sometimes
don't.
They are not.
No,
yes.
No, not at all.
Because after all, the physical life will be just simply a matter of that being self-expression, and if they become illuminated by their beautiful spirit, or that they become constantly aware of it.
Mm.
I'm not going to point to star children, crystal children, or any other addict that is displayed with human quality, much to do with trying to explain these expressions in the human frailty and mutation as it is.
Yeah. So, okay, well, let's move away from the OPAC situation.
Yes, yes.
So they are, basically, we are, as spirit, drawn to a soul group that is akin to our vibration, basically, like we're drawn to friends.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely so. And it's oftentimes very much like a very, very large or extended family. Now, soul groups may actually be quite small, just a matter of a few hundred or maybe even a few thousand, or maybe vast numbers of beings who come from one particular soul group. So it will depend as well upon their fractions of energy of that soul group as to explain part of their habitat, the way that physical being will then co-react to their voyage in the physical life. It may well not be something that's quite plain sailing and obvious, but in actual fact, if they are, for example, a spirit who is a communicator, because that's what they've been doing for millions of years before they came to have a physical human life, then that will be oftentimes what they try to bring about into that physical life if that physical being is aware of their spirit.
And that's not in a conscious way. I mean, people are led and react to the spirit subconsciously, unconsciously, and really, I mean, that's a fantastic way to be.
Yes, and it's, yes,
and
absolutely.
That keeps it pure.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not to say that this is without the religious pursuant or free of it. It just simply matters not as to whether there is a religious symbol involved in the duality, in the movement of opening the consciousness.
Mm.
Opening the consciousness is not necessarily tied to religion, after all, and oftentimes religion actually squashes it.
Yeah.
And makes it very deliberate and limiting in the way in which that being actually can see something outside of themselves.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
Because obviously, oftentimes, religion will actually master the mind in trying to move away from the freedom of thought.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And, you know, I think I would just like to finish off, and I know we've said this before, but,
yes.
You know, that just because you are from a soul group doesn't mean to say that... you are sort of excluded from anything else, or
no, absolutely,
you know,
not.
It's literally just a specific type of energy. Okay.
Yes, right, that's then. Right. After all, there are no real barriers in the spirit world.
Yeah.
Apart from, I suppose, what you are attracted to, in respect of how you then wish to create further service in that field of activity.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that question, Joanne. Okay, here's one from Sophia. She's in the UK too.
Yes.
Does Gregory have difficulty moving from one world to the other, as in from the spirit side of life into this world? Because, you know, in relation to the energy, such a light energy in the spirit world, and it's the opposite here, basically.
Yes, quite so.
And the harshness of our physical world. Does that affect you?
Well, finally, I have to say that actually it doesn't affect me too much, because I don't actually immerse myself into the physical murky world. You hear my voice speaking. Actually, it's not my voice at all. It is that of the instrument. However, the instrument is situated elsewhere, and I am simply borrowing the use and vacancy of the physical body. That does not mean to say that I am in the physical world. It simply means that the transmission is being
brought about. We are able to manipulate the mouth parts, the breathing, of course, otherwise no sound would be brought about across the voice box to illuminate speech at all. The whole situation of this is that we have a completely different speech symbolism, way of speaking, because we were trained to do this ulterior to the physical world. And so I suppose in some respects it can become why it is that some of our sentence structures are somewhat different to those of your side of life, and why it is that we have various asides attached to our sentence structures, because we do not have too much dalliance constantly with the physical world. Now, if we are in observation, shall we say, through because we have to help someone on your side of life through some way or other, that we have to perhaps observe remotely their situation in their life journey or some such thing as that, maybe because they have asked for some kind of help or reading facility, then what we will do is we won't actually come into the physical side of life, but we will observe the energies and the toings and froings, the different mind sequation of the way in which information is passed, processed, and collected and collated, and the resulting situations that come out from that. So that's not something that it means that we have to come into the physical life for. That's something that we observe from our side of life in exactly the same way that all others from the spirit world, when they wish to make contact with the physical side of life, don't actually come into the physical side of life. They simply use the situation. Almost oftentimes they will use different kinds of aperture apparatus available to us on our side of life that enables us to observe and take understanding of the situations and events and that kind of situation which are being played out upon the physical side of life.
And do you know about, you know, for instance, when we're watching the news and that sort of thing, you watch it with us, you must.
Yes, at times, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But also when we see situations and reports and events that are that way broadcast, we will actually go to the country or go to the event or the situation to see for ourselves. We don't actually take always the single-minded and oftentimes characterized view as displayed within that certain country. After all, that then means to say that you are putting the whole situation at risk of the reporter's veracity and their mind control and, in fact, their political viewpoint. Or religious viewpoint. So that will then colour and change the actual description of the actual activities being played out. And for that reason, that's why we would always go and verify situations and simulations ourselves.
Yeah, well, there lies the rub, really. We are absolutely at the mercy of how it's reported to us, or
yes,
how it isn't
or not
reported.
Yes, yes, know. Quite so.
But yeah, so
that's right.
Because I know people have asked that before, you know, but how does he know all of these things about
yes.
what's going on here?
It's yes.
Like, well, you know, I mean, the thing is, you wouldn't be a scientific team
if we didn't study it.
Exactly. You
yes.
have to know what's going on. What's the point of you coming here talking about things, how you can help?
How we can help humanity if we don't know what's happening. That would be ridiculous. I understand oftentimes there are many people on your side of life who are actually critical of and see this or portray it as some kind of interference into the physical side of life and humanity itself, which is, of course, rubbish, because in actual fact, for us to be a scientific interest on the values and ascendancy and indeed the very worrying controls and restraints that happen on the physical side of life, we would not be in the situation we are in if it were not for the fact that we had predicted accurately the fact that the planet was going to succumb to the vengeful acts of humanity.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, like you'd said before, you know, most of the people in the White Cloud group have had a physical life on this planet.
Yes.
Hence the vested interest in it.
So, yes, and are beings of science.
Exactly, and also you've said before that, you know, you want to do better than you did before, because
absolutely.
Obviously if it was a while ago, then, you know, everybody who's trodden the earth has had something probably detrimental to do with it, because that's
yes.
what we do.
Yes, and we all feel very, very responsible, you see, because in actual fact, if we had made other issues, I'm not speaking personally, but really, if for many, if they had taken different decisions and made other apparatus available, or if they had made different decisions about people's behavior, or whatever it is, maybe decisions of war, peace, or the manipulation of one tribe or another tribe, then matters would be very different. There would be a far greater peace, a far greater austerity, in a sense, in the way of management of humanity and the ease of suffering, which clearly has been left to the ravages of those who are in power the greatest.
To many people, we can see the problem.
Yes,
but
the abilities to fix it, that's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully this is something that, this is why you come. It's no good coming to wave your magic wand, not unless it's the lottery numbers or something, you know. That would be quite good, wouldn't it?
Yes, I understand that.
But it's like, so...
And we cannot take this pious attitude either, because all beings from the spirit world are, if they are going to communicate in any way with humanity, then they must be ascended beings, otherwise we cannot have any truck with them or communication with them, which of course is just being that you wish to... feel of yourself in some egotistical manner, that is the way that the universe manifests, when in actual fact it isn't, because that is like being discriminatory toward the energy of the creation of all life, because all life is absolutely the same. So it means to say that if you were talking to a frog or a mouse or a rat or a giant, some other kind of animal or creature from some other world, you would, in fact, need to regard that being in exactly the same way as you regard yourself. And that is that you are all part of the same energy.
Yeah, but you see, human beings, they would actually treat maybe some other being, whether strange animal or alien species or whatever, if they were bigger than them, they would be very, very nice to them. If they were smaller than them, and then they would probably try and take advantage.
Yes, because absolutely.
Because that's what humanity does, isn't it?
Yes, yes,
if they can do it, they will.
Yes, make use of it. See, can I make a pair of slippers out of this?
Whatever, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Well, quite so. But that is the same, you must understand, that is exactly the same as many other species that exist in the universe. And what you have to understand is, as a human being, it may well be that because of your behavior, you are actually inciting some other being who actually thinks that way about you.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so just because of your warlike weapons of mass destruction that you have at this present time doesn't mean to say that it's going to stand up.
Yeah.
Most certainly to many races would still be and appear to be barbaric. Mm-hmm. Like something of cave dwellers.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm banking on it. I'm banking on getting to the other side and being amongst people and energy that is just, well,
very loving.
Absolutely. I was going to say higher then, and I thought, no, don't say higher.
No, just very loving.
Loving, yes.
And very loving means that your energy is faster and more beautiful.
Yeah.
And that isn't higher, because all beings in physical life can aspire to make this happen within their own lives. So no one is spared from this. It means that no one either is left out, regardless of whether you are Christian, Hindu, Islamic, whatever, or atheist.
It means that all energies are the same.
Yeah.
And the love that one person, whether they are a person who is a persecuted soul, or let's say Professor Richard Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
His loving energy, a very peaceful mind, a very beautiful mind, is just as beautiful as anyone else from any religious faction that you may have on your side of life. Just as beautiful a mind as anyone could try to possibly fathom, as he has every peace within him to wish upon all other beings. That is, in fact, a lesson for all beings.
You're saying that because he's an atheist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And I make no discrimination.
No.
Just
no.
Because of his religious point of view, or lack of it.
Yeah.
It does not mean that. It means that is something he doesn't need to aspire to, something that is supposed to have been made in the image of, or that humanity is made in the image of.
Yeah.
Because that is something that comes from the prolific state of human value and what human beings want to use as methods of control in a mass way.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes. This sort of follows on from that. This is Chris from Devon. Thank you, Chris. Oh, and thank you for that, Zofia.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Zofia.
Okay. Can the White Cloud Group speak on the importance of human beings' ability to change their quality of life by changing their perspectives on life and the roles we play through the different states of consciousness we create? We insist on playing both roles of a victim and of a co-creator. Each role and each perspective we create of ourselves determines the type of life we lead.
Yes. What you must remember, my dear friend, is that all beings manifest different situations, whether they come from a happiness place or whether they come from a negative place. They create different values because of the chemical interaction that these different qualities of themselves aspire to make and create in their co-creating. So if, for example, you have a being who is very positive and loving and is co-creating that image and energy from themselves, then that means to say that chemically their balance is something which is on par with their pH value as a physical being, not forgetting your 98% water. Then that means to say that the way in which your enzymes are working, your bacteria, it is not overloaded, it isn't harmful, it isn't that you are creating negative energies, therefore changing or manipulating or mutating some kind of cell destructive inner state because of your unhappiness or lack of charm. So this means to say then that when a human being is wishing to co-create something that is positive and loving, what they're actually doing is manifesting something different, maybe to the environment in which they find themselves. So you may have a happy duck person who actually lives perhaps in some place which is of squalor, of poor value, of a kind of situation that person feels is wanton for them. Maybe they live in a mud hut. Don't forget that there were hundreds of thousands of beings who lived in mud huts before they learned to be outside of Mud Hutsville, or outside of the essence of what they had to build with in terms of materials, because they learned more. So living in a mud hut doesn't mean to say that person is going to be ugly of mind, persecuted, or negative. It means to say that is what they have come to accept as part of their life. oftentimes what happens is that people from different castes, different religion, different emergent nationalities or whatever, due to their experiences of their life they have been born into, oftentimes will mean that they're coming from a different emergent place. Part of the reason why there have been greater many emergent energies due to persecution of one tribe over another. This is something that has gone on through time immemorial, ever since human beings were human beings. And long before that, in fact, when human beings were running around with hair a few inches long, it meant that all over their bodies, it meant that these beings were oftentimes subject to other tribes of hairy beings who were perhaps more violent to them. And that meant that their, in exactly the same way, their energy, their emergent energy, their co-creation was limiting, perhaps, because they were persecuted by some other tribe. You see, that's exactly the same way in animals, except for the fact that they aren't always that way. If you look at, for example, a tribe of elephants, they are, in the main, very placid, very loving, very giving, very harmonic. They have such a way with identifying with their lives that they don't have to deal with the consistency of swinging from one energy to another. They're not negative and then turning to hostility and then having to do a great deal of work to undo all of that. They are generally placid. So it means to say that the only times that they are in fear or dread or whatever are very short-lived time situations, time spans. So it means to say that the actual emergent negative energy which is displayed from that and which comes about as a, once again, as a chemical reposition of the different minerals and salts within their physical vibration, that means to say that they are not then suffering long term from their situation. However, if you look at human beings, I'm just using this as a point really, if you look at human beings and the way that they are constantly maybe held down because of another tribe's action upon them, take, for example, the way in which the pharaohs acted about all of the North African slaves that they grasped from various different tribes and then continued to berate them and behead them and pull their arms and legs off at will in order to actually keep them suppressed and devalue their own lives. And in that case, what actually was emerging from that, if you look back into the history of it, that the whole situation was that they were very dim-witted, they were very negative, they were extremely frightened of their entire lives because they could look around and see one another being whipped and oftentimes they would be have some other part of them pulled off them just simply because of their poor behavior or because they weren't doing what their masters were telling them to do. You see, so all of these situations were actually coming about purely and simply because of one dominant race over another, which meant that the way that they were reacting to that event was deeply negative, deeply divisive. That was done on purpose in order to control them. So if you are a being who is wishing to emerge from such a situation, not saying that this is typical nowadays on your side of life, however, there are certainly some situations where a great many human beings are finding a great deal of difficulty with these kinds of ways in which other groups are usurping their energy. So, for example, you may live in a hostile environment, just living in an inner city life, and that you are frightened of gangs of people that roam the streets after dark or something, causing havoc and mayhem, which then degenerates your energy, creates negativity, creates negative display, and also a sense of mutation that goes on because of the energy of physical body chemistry, which then changes your energy and ability to cope and cooperate and co-create in the way that other people living in an idyllic setting, which is more tranquil and bathed in beauty, will have a completely different experience.
Don't you think that the people in that live in the tranquil position very often fight amongst themselves because it's
yes,
just,
but for different reasons.
For different, yeah,
actually,
absolutely, yeah. And then you can look at dictatorships and that sort of thing, where people actually feel safe walking the streets because it is, you know, basically you'll get your head chopped off if you do anything bad. So
yes,
you know, even though
or
we might,
stoned to death.
Yes, even though we might look at that as being absolutely terrible. And obviously there's a lot of mistakes made. Maybe a lot of those people actually live in a more peaceful environment sometimes.
It is possible, and I understand that that would be the way that it would be portrayed, that if it is a heavy-handed dictator or some such thing, that many people would actually find a different comparison because they actually feel safer in one regard, in that there will perhaps be less criminal activity, except for the fact that the criminal activity will be done by the governance of the people of that tribe.
You see? I mean, it was just a, you know, I mean,
no,
I just thought I'd
it's valid.
Throw that in. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because when you think about the types of punishments and the laws that we have in the UK, for instance,
yes,
and then we have these gangs, you know, going around causing havoc, and there doesn't seem to be any way or anybody, and I think that for people to turn to. I just think people have lost the ability and the faith in the law
because there isn't any.
Because
yes.
there isn't any,
yes.
you know, and there's no bobbies on the beat or what, you know.
Bobbies, friend.
Oh yeah, and for people in America, bobbies on the
peelers.
Beat. Policemen walking the streets at night.
Yes.
And in the daytime, there was always a policeman walking down the road, round the corner, or
yes,
the
understand.
Fear of one, or
yes.
two of them,
yes.
you know, with their truncheons. But, you know, there's just nothing now.
Oh, and, sticks, I understand,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know,
yes.
it's, I mean, you know, because you know, that's just the animal in us, isn't it? I mean, how can we change to the point where we actually can survive in this world by being so spiritually minded? I mean, you can't.
It doesn't seem to help.
There has to be an element of being able to look after yourself.
That's right. That's part of the point, really, that we try to impress upon people to take responsibility for themselves and not to think that they can just sit about and wait for the second coming or wait for 2012 to make everything right. Or to wait for this or that solar energy eclipse or some other such situation of wobbling polar status from one inflection to another in order to change matters. It isn't. It's a matter of humanity changing its behavior. And it starts with every single individual and ends with every single individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you have a situation where, by in the broad realm of it, that you have a situation where there is a lack of abidable law in respect of the way that people are not necessarily punished, but where people are upheld into their behavior. Obviously, there are many situations when you are given a great many human beings in one place that there have to be a kind of a situation of marshalling that is purely and simply because human behavior and the mutation of it tends to be with desperation breeds contempt, with desperation creates disharmonic layering, which then creates great negative troughs because of what they do not have in aspiration towards the ego of others who do have.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, there needs to be, obviously we've talked about the laws of attraction and
yes, quite
you know,
so.
Obviously your intent and how that creates what you get, really, basically.
Yes.
Your aspirations and what you send out, you co-create with the universe and with positive and negative energy, basically. So if you are positive, you will attract positivity. If you are negative, you will attract negativity.
Yes, but my point, though, my dear friend, I'm sorry to cut you off, but my point really is that it happens at every level. So if you are a being who wishes to bake a cake and you want to put everything that you can into baking the cake and make it beautiful and presentable and the most wonderful cake that anyone who eats it has aspired to think of in their mind's eye, then that is a glorious situation, is it not? If you wish to grow an orchard full of apples, and that they are the most beautiful and sweet-tasting apples that could ever be imagined, that is a beautiful experience to then share with other peoples, not to keep one to oneself, to be selfish over, and to think, I have all of these lovely apples, and then can't eat them fast enough because they just rot on the tree, is not something then that is going to be sharing to everyone that is involved within the process. It means that if you are doing something which is in abundance to the best of your ability, then you are going to try to pour every effort into that ability if you have the right kind of quantum aspect of what you wish to deliver to the world. It doesn't matter if it's transient. It doesn't matter if it's only temporary, a temporary situation. It will create the memory in someone else's mind. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And will beautify their life, their well with all, and their energy becomes clearer and purer, and yours too, for the creation of it.
Mm. I often think of for instance, the inner city areas,
yes.
You know, the council estates, the yes. really run-down areas, wherever it is, you know, it's hard to actually think positive and do this co-creation, this law of attraction, this energy work in that situation.
It's
hard to tell people that, and then you know, okay, somebody might work really hard on themselves and it just gets squidged because the energy of the place that they live in is just so negative.
I understand.
Whereas on the other hand, if everybody knew that was the case, that if they did that, then the whole energy of the place, the environment, would change anyway, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's right. And sometimes, oftentimes, in fact, for our witnessing that we have seen and experienced, that it doesn't even matter either how much money you throw at it, that it still doesn't change the event or the speculation of how energy is to change is not going to matter if the behavior itself is not brought into the open and then lessons learnt from it. This is about education then, about teaching these beings to become behaving differently, to regard their lives and their situation differently. So that means it's a completely different set of situations. And that means that you have to actually re-educate these human beings into having a different value. The problem is these situations oftentimes come from negative outlooks, negative situations created environmentally because of others who have taken from them. Therefore, it creates resentment pathways in these individuals. And what you have to do is unpick all of that and re-educate into a different way.
Absolutely. But then also it could be if it was, say, in an ideal world, this would be fantastic, part of the curriculum, educational system,
yes.
then wouldn't that be great if everybody knew when they were growing up that, you know, if they practiced
yes.
the law of attraction, then that would be, well, probably better to think of a different word, but...
Yes, that is very true.
But that would be a tool for life. Because then at
yes.
least they would have the choice, wouldn't they? You know, and if everybody
yes.
that, say, instead of got locked up in prison, or if they did actually practice this in prison as a form of,
yes.
you know, rehabilitation.
That's right.
That would be good too, wouldn't it?
It would, absolutely. That's what we have been really trying to advocate for years. And the situation will be that at present, you have perhaps one person in every 100 who understands. And
yeah.
that is simply not something that they would necessarily come to an agreement with because of their education, but maybe simply because they're coming from a different standpoint, possibly because of the morality that they grew up with, or that they were taught by their parents to adopt, or maybe not even by their parents, but that they adopted it through their own understanding of the values of what they could see happening to other people around them, or animals around them, or the way that behavior became instilled that this is violent and this is wrong. You see?
Well,
that's a matter of choice.
We are, you know, we are the creation of the life we've led, and what we've taken and learned from or not, the cause and effect. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, just a case of being able to survive it, and seeing many injustices of people that have and the people that have not, and the abandonment and the helplessness of not being able to get on the ladder of life, really.
That is quite true, little bird. Yes, quite
true. But it's whether it's what you do with that. It's whether you turn that into a positive or a negative.
Yes. And that, do you sequester to that energy, or do you turn it over and say, well, actually, I have to learn from this. Therefore, you are growing your morality. You are growing a different attraction in your morality.
Absolutely. And we've all got lessons that we can help to pass on that we've overcome to other people. Everybody, absolutely everybody has.
Yes.
So, I mean,
you don't
have to have
thousands of past lives in order to do this. You can just open your eyes and look about you.
Well, you don't have to be very old either.
No, indeed not. There are many children who can teach many, many adults, many other beings, a great wisdom.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, once again, that flew by, didn't it, Gregory?
Thank you very much. Yes. With love and light, blessings upon all of your houses and all of your minds, your eyes and ears remain open. God bless.
And thank you very much for your questions. And don't forget, if you've got any, you can send them to me in the week at any time at enq@spirit-teaching.com. Just go to our website and just get in touch. And thank you very much for listening. Our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and this has been Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBS Radio. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.